For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
We're in the last couple of weeks of our spring practice period, focusing on the Serene Illumination teachings of Zen Master Hongzhi from Cultivating the Empty Field. I've already spoken about the six practice instructions that were offered for people who were formerly in the practice commitment period, and all of those talks are now on the website, which I'm grateful for. I want to talk tonight about a few of them that are connected with Hongzhi's use of nature metaphors. Actually, also with his with references to sangha, so talking about the rhythm of nature, and for those who weren't here the last couple of days, Kaz Ta-Nehisi has been visiting and offered and left with us another adornment for our zendo, a painting. He offered two paintings, and I selected the one that calls the desert within, which nicely complements the one he left us last time called the snow within. So this is kind of reflects the rhythm of nature and the world. And so we have a desert side of the zendo and a snow side of the zendo. And I don't know, the I just saw today that thanks to climate damage and the gift of our Secretary of State from ExxonMobil, there will be no more glaciers left in the United States within the next 30 years or so. And there's, of course, increasing desert throughout the world, so I don't know if this side of the zendo is going to tip over. Anyway, we have this balance to nature and to our seasons, and these two kind of complement each other. And we each may feel the snow within at times and the desert within, but this balance is also part of the balance that Hongzhi talks about when he talks about the balance of serenity and illumination as essential to our practice. So I'm going to just start reading a few. I'm going to want to read a few of these practice instructions tonight and talk about, or at least parts of them, and talk about them. The first one, he says, in the wind abode, clouds and dragons harmoniously follow each other. Very naturally, from the first, they do not express their intentions to each other. And I put it interpretively in brackets, they do not need to express their intentions to each other. So this was just part of the natural phenomena in China. Clouds and dragons appear and harmoniously follow each other. Similarly, he says, Zen practitioners are accommodating and, based on causes and conditions, can harmoniously practice together. Arriving without display, emerging unconcealed, the wondrous clouds and dragons enter the whole scene and cannot be confused. So this balance of clouds and dragons, of different kinds of practitioners, of snow and desert, harmonizing. Our practice is about harmonizing all of our differences. So Hongzhi says very naturally, they do not need to express their intentions to each other. Here we are, practicing together. Arriving without display, emerging unconcealed, the wondrous clouds and dragons enter the whole scene and cannot be confused. Casually hanging above the 10,000 features, each distinctly presents a spectacular image. Complete without a hair's difference between them, springing forth with spontaneity, they clearly exemplify coming home, but still must investigate until they have eaten their fill. So that's kind of interesting. Clouds is an image traditionally for wandering monks. Unsui is the traditional word, the Japanese version of it, for clouds and water. So, and you know, in our context, even as lay practitioners today, practitioners wandering around to different practice places at times, wandering around looking for a place in a way, in a context for practice, like the clouds, and maybe like the dragons, harmoniously following each other. So here we have various dragons appearing at this ancient dragon gate. How do we harmonize? How do we accommodate each other? How do we support each other? So this is a kind of nature metaphor that's also a model of sangha. How do we practice together? How do we harmoniously? We don't need to declare our intentions. We're here because somehow or other we care about the quality of our lives and the world. And maybe we each have our own way of responding to that and expressing that. And he says, casually, hanging above the 10,000 features, all of the sense dust, all of the phenomenal world, the clouds and the dragons flying around, each distinctly presents a spectacular image. This is a way of seeing Sangha too. Each practitioner, each person who shows up here, each cloud or dragon who occupies a seat in this Zendo, on every different occasion, in some way, presents a spectacular image. We can see it that way. Now, you may not feel like you are such a cloud or dragon presenting a spectacular image, but sitting here, that's how I see it, actually. Each person sitting zazen, there's this wonderful image, just sitting like Buddha, somehow drawn to this practice. And somehow we harmonize together, and somehow we support each other to do this practice of investigating. And he says, springing forth with spontaneity, they clearly exemplify coming home. So usually cloud and monk practitioners are called home leavers. But here he says, they clearly exemplify coming home, but still must investigate until they have eaten their fill. How do we investigate this great matter of life and death, this, as Kaz was talking about yesterday, this total dynamic activity, this undivided activity of life and death, of birth and death, of how do we live in this world in the urgency of this situation our world is in. So, in some ways, it's very natural. Clouds and dragons harmoniously follow each other. And then he says, clouds disperse, winds die down, the autumn sky clears and the moon sets, the waters of heaven are limitless. Where the ground is on its own, the brightness begins to be realized. So we settle in this situation, spontaneously emerging. And as we settle and pay attention and respond and harmonize, not only within the Sangha of this dragon gate, but seeing how the world presents various dragon gates of people trying to find how to live in this world, in this situation. The ground is on its own, and the brightness begins to be realized. We begin to see the possibility of wholeness in the world. Sometimes this is not easy, and the situation is difficult. And yet, we have no other choice. Clouds and dragons spontaneously appear. So I want to talk about a couple of other of Hongzhi's practice instructions where he talks about this rhythm and harmony of nature as it appears in our lives. And then maybe we can have a little discussion and reflection. In another one, he says, a person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. And when he talks about, again, the white clouds, again, that's an image for, could be an image for practitioners. And when he talks about mountains, that's sometimes an image for teachers. Teachers are named for the mountain where they teach often, like Dongshan is named for Dong Mountain. So, but also it works as an image of, you know, like one of, like a landscape painting. We can imagine, well, here is the snow gathering on the mountain, and Dogen says the snow is the mountain. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. So the moonlight flowing along on the mountain streams. The clouds part and the mountain appears. The moon sets and the water is cool. Each bit of autumn contains vast interpenetration without bounds. So the natural elements are totally connected in this integrated system of the reality of nature. Each bit of autumn contains vast interpenetration without bounds. Every dust is whole without reaching me. We don't have to be caught by all of the sense dusts. The 10,000 changes are stilled without shaking me. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. So the point of this practice is to find the place where we can settle and see this dynamic harmony and be supported by it, and then not just learn some, you know, self-help meditation technique, but actually be supported to respond, each in our own way, to our world, to our lives. We can freely step across and engage the world with energy. And he says, there is an excellent saying that the six sense doors are not veiled. The highways in all directions have no footprints. So he talks in many places about the sense dusts and not being caught by sense objects. We can see what's around us. We don't have to be caught or obsessed by particular sense objects. Always arriving everywhere without being confused. Gentle, but without hesitation. The perfected person knows where to go or how to go. I'll read that one again. A person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. the bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. The clouds part and the moon mountain appears. So there's this kind of scene, this nature scene. The moon sets and the water is cool. Each bit of autumn, each bit, contains vast interpenetration without bounds. Every dust is whole without reaching me. So each element is complete. Every dust is whole without reaching me. The 10,000 changes are stilled without shaking me. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. There is an excellent saying that the sixth sense doors are not veiled. The highways in all directions have no footprints. Each byway, each highway, each path is fresh. We don't know how to respond to the situation we're in this time, with this government, in this world. And yet, we have highways all around us. We have ways of responding. Always arriving everywhere without being confused, gentle without hesitation, the perfected person knows how to go. So we respond. The practice of skillful means is we don't know what works, but we respond. So there's one more I want to read at least part of, and then maybe we can talk about this. He says, people of the way journey through the world responding to conditions. Carefree and without restraint. So again, this idea of serene illumination and settling as a way of responding to the situations, the conditions of our lives and of the world around us. And when we can settle like this and support each other, and again, all of this nature imagery, I think, is a kind of, also can be taken as a kind of image of Sangha, an image of how, you know, the natural world cooperates. And so how do we, as human beings, learn to cooperate and not and treat each other with respect and not demonize some group, not scapegoat some group, like the politicians do to gain power. Anyway, people of the way journey through the world responding to conditions, carefree and without restraint, like clouds finally raining, like moonlight following the current, like orchids growing in shade, like spring arising in everything. They act without mind. They respond without certainty. This is how perfected people behave. So I love that passage, this image of orchids growing in shade. Sometimes we need the shade, sometimes we need the sun. Like orchids growing in shade, like spring arising in everything. We've been feeling this the last few weeks. They act without mind, without being caught by our thinking mind. They respond with certainty. This is how perfected people behave. And of course, we're not, none of us, perfected people, but we're on this path of the perfections, of the practices of patience and generosity and energy and skillful means and so forth. Then they must resume their travels and follow the ancestors. I've talked about Hongzhi's talking about the ancestors, walking ahead with steadiness and letting go of themselves with innocence. And then he has this kind of strange section here. The solitary beacon is without companions. The piercing, awe-inspiring voice on the single road to the other shore instantly can fulfill center or borders and pervade from top to bottom. Killing and giving life, rolling up or unrolling, is your own independent decision. So he has this image of the solitary beacon without companions. But I would say that's also a Sangha image. We support each other to each take our own responsibility, to each take our own, find our own voice, find our own way of acting in the world. So each person in Sangha has their own way of becoming a light for the world. So I'll read that whole thing again. People of the way journey through the world responding to conditions carefree and without restraint. Like clouds finally raining, like moonlight following the current, like orchids growing in shade, like spring arising in everything. They act without mind, they respond with certainty. This is how perfected people behave. Then they must resume their travels and follow the ancestors who shared this practice and teaching. Walking ahead with steadiness, letting go of themselves with innocence. The solitary beacon is without companions. The piercing, awe-inspiring voice on the single road to the other shore instantly can fulfill center or borders and pervade from top to bottom. Killing and giving life, rolling up or unrolling, is your own independent decision. Anyway, there are many other examples of these kind of nature images that Hongzhi uses, kind of to show the naturalness of this practice, to paint a picture of how this practice is expressed, to encourage us to see the world of nature as practicing with us. But also then there's this element of the natural elements cooperating, the systems, the biological and geological and physical systems of the world, and of, I would say also, of humanity cooperating. And so here we are. So how will we respond? So I can read more, but maybe that's enough. So, responses, comments, questions, reflections, please feel free. Dave. Yeah.
Because when I first heard that, I thought that it was about like real serious Zen monks, you know, travel around the world, different Zen monasteries, and have a bunch of different teachers to take their practice really seriously and never like, you know, always working really hard at seeing that, you know, having going out, seeing how many monasteries and different places they can travel to. Maybe that's there, I don't know. But tonight I don't really feel like that's the point that's ringing for me. I feel like what's ringing for me is like that, you know, a person who like fundamentally doesn't dwell anywhere. That like when you're not dwelling anywhere, there's no center to you. And, you know, there's not one place that you can locate. It's like this is really like where everything, like where my existence revolves around, you know. Like what I feel tonight is like that it's one thing that this passage can be saying is that like it's an opening of yourself to be that you know that there's that the conception of what the story of what you think you are to let go of that being the center of your existence and that yourself. Is, you know, the Sangha, it's you know, it's a big stuff. It's, you know, it doesn't have to just have one, it doesn't have to be attached to an idea or a place. And I love that it's fundamental, you know, fundamentally doesn't dwell anywhere. That's like, in our basic, our true essence, that is, you know, there's this. Yeah, these building blocks that aren't static, you know, that they're unique to me, but they're also shared. You know, they're fundamental. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I love that. The person of the word fundamentally does not go anywhere. It's just like I'm seeing that yourself isn't necessarily centered. Things don't revolve around you, but that doesn't mean you're not important. It just means yourself is bigger than maybe what you think initially as you try to figure out what self is.
Great, thank you. So that was a wonderful example of taking one line from a teaching and working with it and playing with it. And yeah, so that's a line about flexibility and not being caught anywhere, that we and openness and possibilities. And so yeah, thank you, Dave, for demonstrating that for us. Great. Yes. Other comments or reflections? Yeah, one can take any line here in a lot of these and play with it in that way. So thank you, Dave. Ben.
I was struck by the juxtaposition of clouds and dragons in the first one, and how, you know, they're similar in some ways. Imagine dragons floating through the sky like clouds, and they're larger than us. But also, at least the way it was resonating to me, also very different, clouds being soft and ethereal, and dragons being hard and brave, and clouds sort of flowing gently through things, and dragons, I imagine, sort of forcefully challenging things. And I suppose it makes me think of the sort of two ways in which we're called upon to respond to things, sort of soft, flexible, caring, but also kind of brave, resolute courage.
And also the thing about creating spectacular images, because if imagine, you know, just the clouds that form wonderful images, just like, you know, all the images of dragons. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, David.
It's difficult for me to process things, you know, orally with, you know, me hearing wise. But what I'm struck by, you know, not so much by the symbolism, but I'm struck by the imagery. And I stay with the imagery, because the imagery is like everything is in harmony. It's just so much harmony. And there's peace there with the clouds and the dragons and the mountains. And even with the road that has no footsteps on it, that image is just so powerful. Mm. And what I'm struck by is the sheer poetry of it all.
Yeah, so Hongzhe particularly, Dogen also, but in Zen teaching often teaches, you know, through poetry rather than some didactic, you know, lesson for you to learn. It's these poetic images, as you say, that we can play with or, you know, evoke something.
Yeah, it's the harmony that, you know, for me, this whole thing just, it's just so filled with harmony that it's just blissful.
Yeah, so then the bliss and the harmony, but the point of that is to inspire us to respond further, to bring that forth in the world. And so he emphasizes that too. It's not a passive bliss and harmony. It's a interactive. Yeah. Hi, Kitty. Yeah. Rolling and unrolling, yeah. He says that the piercing, awe-inspiring voice on the single road to the other shore instantly can fulfill center or borders and pervade from top to bottom. And then he says, killing and giving life, rolling up or unrolling, is your own independent decision. So this kind of, this rolling or unrolling or killing and giving life, this, he has other passages where he talks about this, that there's this image of, and this is, sometimes they talk about this in terms of Manjushri's sword that can kill or give life. And how do we, there's another one here that talks about that. Maybe I'll find this. Let's see if I can find that. This sense of the rhythm of our conduct, the rhythm of, there's another one that's a little related. I'll read this. Just resting is like the great ocean accepting hundreds of streams, all absorbed into one flavor. Freely going ahead is like the great surging tides riding on the wind, all coming onto this shore together. How could they not reach into the genuine source? How could they not realize the great function that appears before us? A Zen practitioner follows movement and responds to changes in total harmony. Moreover, haven't you yourself established the mind that thinks up all the illusory conditions? But this, the sense of roll, there's another one that talks about rolling and unrolling. But yeah, did you have some response? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's the one I was really looking for: rolling and unrolling. He talks about this, and yeah, it's not action and inaction. It's kind of two kinds of actions. And in terms of Chinese philosophy, maybe yang and yin, it's a kind of soft energy action that is taking in, and it's this, and then this stronger action that is expressing out. And there's the harmony of them, and so part of the response is to know when to, almost strike out like the dragons, or when to maybe take in like the clouds. I don't know. But here's another one that's rolling, about rolling and unrolling. So I don't know if this helps, but I'll read it. Where the field is secure and familiar, when the great work is like a clear, cool pond, then you will see the empty kalpa or empty age. Do not allow a hair to bind you or permit a fiber to screen you. Be supremely empty and open and bright, pure, round, and glorious. The 10,000 ancient sages appear in succession undisguised. If you know the whole story with a nod of your head, you will not chase after birth and death and will not dwell in nihilism or eternalism. If you want to make appropriate changes, then you must transform majestically along with the 10,000 forms. If you want to be still and abiding, you must accord with the process of containing and covering, like earth and heaven. Appearing or disappearing, and rolling or unrolling, are entirely up to you. In this way, people with the original face must know how to gather together or release. So that's another way of talking about it. Gathering together or releasing. So that sense of rhythm is part of this natural thing, but it's also not, it's about a kind of response. So, did you have some? It's an interesting way of thinking. Yes, Jane. Hi.
Well, that's lovely. Except what happens when the storm comes and the wind blows and the water sprays up and the fracking comes comes and the volcanoes erupt. He's just talking about harmony, you know, and that's great, but the other, nature isn't always harmonious.
Yeah, and the world isn't harmonious, and that's what we're facing. So that's right, exactly.
But he doesn't talk about it.
Well, I mean, but he was living in a time of civil war too, and of social chaos. But yeah, it's up to us. It's not. He's not going to give us the answers to our time, right?
No,
but yes. You're asking the right question. Yes, exactly. So I don't have the answer to that, but the point is, from this place where we settle into seeing the natural rhythms, we can try to respond, actively, but also without acting out, you know, in some harsh way that is inappropriate. Yes, you're asking the right questions. We have
to see harmony when you can see is discord.
Yeah. So how do we present to the spectacular images of all of the possibilities in a world in a context of disharmony? So you know, it's interesting in Chinese culture when. There was disharmony in the natural order, when there were natural disasters, so-called, not man-made disasters like climate change now, but volcanoes or they blamed the emperor. They said that meant that the emperor and the government was somehow corrupt because the world of nature was responding that way. So they saw that there was a connection. So, you know, now we see this connection. So how do we respond? We don't know, but lots of people are trying things, and I think that's healthy. So we just have to keep paying attention and try to respond. But from this place... what's the line, Dave?
The one that.
Say it again.
The person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere.
So not being stuck in some particular posture, being willing to adapt and be flexible and respond, sometimes rolling, sometimes unrolling. It's not. We don't know what will be helpful, but we can try things. I think that's. And that's what we have to try to do together and each in our own way. So it's about time to stop, but if anybody has any further responses to Jane's question, please. Yes?
Sometimes I experience harmony more over a timeline than I do within any single instance of experience.
Good.
And so I will see a sequence of repetitive repetition over a period of 10, 20, 30, 40 years or 12 periods. That gains access for me to a sense of order or predictability or centeredness or dwelling that I cannot access within a snapshot of my decade.
Yeah, I think, thank you, that's right, that's good. Part of the gift of our tradition and the Bodhisattva view and here we are talking about somebody who lived in the 1100s, seeing this long view, we can see the rhythms of even human history and geological history. And so if in whatever way we survive the current administration that will mean something wonderful for humanity. So we have to work at that. To see that there are rhythms of oppression and repression and rolling and unrolling and in the course of our species evolving, hopefully. Here we are. Any other last thoughts? That was pretty good. But. Okay, well then we'll do the four bodhisattva vows as a way of closure for tonight.